It's just so great to be able to take that mask off. thanks for the great introduction. We have a history with Somerset West, believe it or not. We helped plant. But you wouldn't have seen us in this hall. We helped out with kids and establishing the kids' church here many years ago when you guys were planted. So we do have an affinity for Somerset West, and there's a piece of our heart planted here or in the soil next door, not in kids' blood, but in ours. So thanks very much for the welcome. My name's Ryan. We've been in Josh Jen for about 11 years now. You've been blessed with another couple that welcomed us into Josh Jen, Greg and Joy. Where are they sitting? Ah, there's Craig. Joy's most probably a kids' church. Yeah. So we were actually one into the kingdom through Kids Church, actually via Craig and Joy, who invited us on our first camp, most probably seeing nothing on our lives, but seeing the need to draw us in somehow. And they invited us. I think our first camp ever was, we were the camp mother and father, which is a nice way of saying we're not giving you anything to do. All you have to do is love on the kids and help them with the boo-boos, with the band-aids and that sort of thing. Help rub their tummies when they're feeling nauseous and sick. Needless to say, 11 years on, and despite myself and my life that I lived up to before giving my life to the Lord, despite myself, I find myself leading a congregation in Durbanville PM. Which is just an amazing testimony to God's goodness. Won't you pray with me, please? So, Father, today we pray that the message today is seeds for everyone's life here. I pray that lives are never the same again. And I pray for a deep shaking today. I pray for the word spoken today results in a healthy, radical growth and an advance in the kingdom. Amen. So aside from the apostolic input we get here in Josh Jen, I do rely largely on the voice of God in my life very much. Take me for example. I spoke a little bit earlier about my past. But do you think I'm actually capable of standing here talking to all of you? And what about leading? Even a congregation. I want you to know and ask the question when you leave today, what has God got you, or what has God got waiting in the wings for you when you leave here? If you had seen me in my youth, your answer would have been absolutely not. 10 years ago, your answer would have been surely not. 5 years ago, not so sure. Today, here I am. But I'm not alone, and I'm 100% dependent on God. So yes, I do spend a lot of time on my knees praying, definitely always looking for the way forward. Part of my devotion is a prayer time on Tuesday, alongside some other faithful folk in Durbanville. We're now starting up 4 prayer groups at different times of the week, in different places over Durbanville. I really got this vision of fires being started all over the suburb. And that's where you can find us seeking and petitioning for God and finding a place where we hear Him, what He wants. This past Tuesday, I felt God speaking to the prayer room, and I want to translate that for you here today because I think it's apt. So picture one was of a broken bridge and standing before this broken suspended bridge over a deep ravine. Lot of people standing on the land side, not even walking out over the bridge because the planks stopped about 3/4 of the way across. But there were one or two that had walked out on the bridge and were standing quite close to the last planks. And as they stepped forward into the space, saw God's hand underneath just grabbing the feet and foot after foot, helping them cross that bridge. The second picture was of two ships sailing in a sea. I'm taken back to that time when the disciples were on the lake in the storm. In picture one, the crew were lying flat on the deck, clinging to whatever they could get their hands to. I don't know if you have sea legs or not. The other ship was also in the storm, identical. But the crew were efficiently looking at the rigging, trimming the sails, tying things down, keeping the bow pointed into the storm. Both had Jesus asleep on the floor, but both very different pictures of faith in motion, trust in a storm. My question today is, why then? If you'll bear with me. Why for some of us do we question our salvation then? Why for some does it appear radical and for others not? Why do we continue away from the things of God? Are we even aware? Are our eyes opened or have our hearts become calloused? I'd like us to read from Luke 17, if we can. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." We read here, Jesus heals 10 lepers. But only one truly hears. I do believe it's because of their heart condition. We read the word leprosy to make it easier for us Westerners to picture. But would it surprise you to know that the word used to describe the disease is the same word meaning corruption of the flesh? Back to the story. 9 heard for themselves and went on their way. And one heard and saw the truth around just what happened. You see, hearing and seeing the truth transforms lives. But only if we allow the renewal of our hearts and honor the infilling of the new spirit in us. So you guys here, the majority I know have received Christ into your life. Raise your hands. Great. You stood up at some point and you said the sinner's prayer. We read in Romans 10:9-10. It says that if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. I thought it would be apt to put up the sinner's prayer. I don't know if we got it. There we go. This is just a version that I have on my phone that I use. So maybe you can just read with me. Lord Jesus, for too long I've kept you out of my life. I know that I am a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking. By faith I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. Thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit. And be my Savior. Amen. The challenge, like the lepers, we can hear or see, or we can just take parts we want. It may look like healing, but without the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, it will go nowhere. You see, it was only the one leper they really saw that day, and one that was truly healed. So we have married Jesus in word. We've said the sinner's prayer. But may have never consummated the marriage. Have we ever given ourselves to him with trust and abandon that we were designed to give? The dying to live part, we as Josh Jenners know so well. Have you heard the phrase? Josh Jenners dying to live? I think it's on our website, on our logo, on our all over the place. Rather than giving our call to him, our all to him, rather than submitting to the source of life with joyful obedience, perhaps we have grumbled and complained and questioned him at various intersections of our life. Perhaps we are at one of those intersections today. We've been through a hectic year, through COVID, unprecedented battles, and it's been a year of deep introspection. In this space, I want to ask, have we ignored the call to love ourselves and one another? It's a two-part command, but perhaps we have got stuck on the first, forgetting the others. Has our attention remained fixed on ourselves, offering only glimpses, small gestures of love, that only tease, but never deliver? The picture of us witnessing to Jesus during worship. Oh, worship was awesome. Erupting with a sudden burst of passion as we sing our love songs to him. But then so often we leave the service and return to our self-involved lives. A life without change, without any deepening of our pursuit of him, without any outward visible sign of these love songs, songs of praise and worship that we have just sung, a life where we neglect putting any of these words of our love for him and his love for us into practice. I remember a big scandal back in the 80s, this band, Milli Vanilli. Am I giving my age away? They got caught lip-syncing, and how outraged we all were. Is our worship, or dare I say our Christian life, an example of modern-day Christian lip-sync? Guard my heart. Guard my heart. Are we also guilty of receiving the perfect love of the cross and find out not living it as we battle, or even ignore loving one another as he loved us and loves us so perfectly? Jesus has made promises and sworn faithfully executed promises to bind himself to us. What are we doing to make good on our side? We make promises or strike a covenant with Jesus at the moment when we surrender our lives to him, say the sinner's prayer, one that is stronger than blood, one that establishes a divine, everlasting bond, a covenant. In making covenant with him, God adopts us into his family and treats us as heirs to inherit eternity alongside him. Whenever we break bread, every time we call on the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Every time we do anything in the name of God, we're tapping into the power of God, the same power of creation. But even more, we are tapping into the great power of Jesus, who has brought us and brought about a new creation in us, having sworn an oath, having taken upon himself our sins and the payment for it on the cross. Luke 22:19-20. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." What does that mean for us as a church? Great question. Great news is there's so much more work to do for God. He calls all of us to do, and it's laid out in the Bible. You see, we have this book filled to the brim with who he was, who his son is, and what the Holy Spirit is doing. It's not just a history book. It was as applicable back then as it is now. We read in Scripture, Psalm 119:105, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." Your word. Yes, we do hear God through the prophetic, through prayer, through pictures, but we must also not forget he has already spoken much through his word. Not a 3,000 lumens searchlight into the future. I do think that would corrupt us. Just a light for here, for now. Then why, when we read it now, today, do we fail to see the instructions to what we are called for? Or perhaps we read it, but fail to work at it, to find a way. Is there the possibility that we haven't allowed our hearts to be renewed, to be a spirit-led people? I read we have been given a new heart and a new spirit. I'll jump through them quickly. John 3:3. Jesus replied, "Truly, truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." John 3:5. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit." 2 Corinthians 3:3. "It is clear that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the human heart." 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Do you still see the hole you were saved out of? How possibly can you reach out if your hand is pointing at others instead of reaching out? Helping others out of the hole you were very much in a short while ago. I see a great need for us to wake up. It's us that need to be moving, not two or three of us. All of us here in Somerset West, now in Gordon's Bay today, and again back in Durbanville PM, where I'm coming from. Out there. How do we do that? Are we called to walk on water like Peter? Raise the dead? Feed 5,000, 10,000, 100,000? Walk through a fire? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Face a giant? Perhaps one, or perhaps all of the above. But we won't know unless we put a step forward. Each and every miracle required someone putting a foot forward. Coming here is good, perhaps very necessary, but only if it prepares you, if it armors you for out there. And be a Christian. That's what the term Christian means. Are you a little Christ? That's what Christian means, little Christ. But only here, on a Sunday or on a Wednesday night. I'm afraid that's called a hearer, not a doer. The Bible calls it a Pharisee. Have an anniversary, wooing a loved one, birth of a child, win a car. We have been so good at sharing online life's comforts and spoils. What about you were saved? You have been given eternity as a place to be when this is all over. And you say nothing of this. Declare nothing. No acknowledgement regarding Christ's work on the cross. The hard news, with the risk of offending, I'm afraid that's an abandoned cross. You see, we are called to witness. We are empowered to do so much more. It's written in Scripture. I want to encourage us. As a Christian household, let's start following God's example and walk in the way of love. Let's submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let's love one another. Let's follow what God has already spoken. I hear so many people asking to hear from God or saying they are waiting to hear from God before they move. It's not even a perhaps. With regards to your conduct, He has already spoken. Read the Scripture. Love God, love His Word, and love one another. I'm challenging all of us, including myself, for all scenarios we are facing, to do life with as much resemblance of God's love as we can. As difficult as it may be, but with as much tenacity as we can muster, to an equal measure that was afforded us. I'm also challenging each and every accountability or discipleship meeting you have. Whatever is on the table, if the person sitting across the table from you is facing a rejection challenge, a marriage challenge, a relationship challenge, a work colleague challenge, a wrestle with someone close or far, struggling parent, son or daughter challenge. The list of challenges is real. But the truth of love is just as real. 1 Corinthians 13:4-5. You may have only heard it at a marriage ceremony. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Let us commit to a church experience that incorporates God's covenant that cements our lives together. I mentioned earlier, you'd hear that in a marriage. God calls us into covenant, like marriage with one another. It cements our commitment as a fellowship of believers in Christ. Let this be a place where people that love one another get to live life with one another, learn to share, learn selflessness through serving, learn to extend grace and receive it. Receive mercy in untold amounts. Practice forgiveness, just as we were forgiven much. Navigate understanding. Persevere in patience. And then the fruit comes. Unity. And then who knows? Perhaps God will start speaking new things.